The political process is said to be one where the, quote, fix is in. Districts are cut to protect the incumbents who are protected by a party machine to ensure their reelection. My next guest was part of the campaign team who created, let's call it, the exception to that rule. His work and creativity led to the downfall of a Washington GOP leader who is being groomed for House Speaker. Speaking of Eric Cantor, he is the co-author of a new book which takes you into the political campaign that shook up politics in Virginia, D.C., and pretty much just about everywhere else. It's How to Bag a Rhino, co-authored by Zach Werrell and my next guest, Gray Delaney. Good morning, Gray.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And the website for the book, howtobagarhino.com. And the rhino, as I said, it was Eric Cantor. Dave Brett was the underdog, to say the least. How much of an underdog was Mr. Brett?
Well, received pretty much zero media attention and then outspent about 40 to 1. Eric Cantor spent more on steak dinners than Brett spent the entire campaign. So certainly it was an underdog. It really, because the majority leader had never been defeated in a primary since the position was created in the late 19th century. So it was pretty much no one gave us a chance, and it was pretty exciting on June 10th to prove the people wrong.
Why Dave Brett? What was the attraction? What was seen in him that made you and a few brilliant people, I think, look at Dave and go, you know what? That's the guy.
Well, the voters in the 7th District were unhappy with Eric, and they had picked up on this far before the national media. The national media actually thought that Cantor was a Tea Party type, very supportive of the Tea Party, and they labeled him as such in 2010. But, you know, starting with the Wall Street bailouts in 2008, his votes to raise the debt ceiling, among other things, the 7th District voters had been looking for a candidate starting in 2012, and met with Dave Brett. He had ran for House of Delegates unsuccessfully. He was on a couple of pretty prominent boards. He was head of the economics department at a local university, and he just looked like a congressman. He was very well-spoken. He was a strong grassroots conservative, but he also appealed to kind of, I guess, the more mainstream Republican voters. And so we knew he was a credible candidate, and the recruiting effort took several months until he agreed to finally run. But we knew that with Eric Cantor's negative and with a strong candidate like Dave, that this a victory was within shot. And so, it all worked out.
And to be honest, Dave was not a totally cooperative candidate, at least at the beginning.
No, I mean,
Everyone has a personality and nuances, and people have their way of working and running things in the real world, which, as we've all come to learn, is there's very little reality in politics.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, Dave was very wonkish, and that kind of played to our benefit because he came in, he gave his stump speech was, here are the six principles of the Republican Party, of the Republican creed, and then he went down one by one by one, showed where he stood, and then compared it to Eric Cantor. And so it was very clear that Eric Cantor was no longer really a Republican and had really betrayed the principles of the Republican Party. And, Dave was not, he's not a typical candidate. He did not, he was not a politico, but that's a good thing. And it made it a little bit more difficult to work with because he thought he could kind of control everything in the process from every tweet to every, and campaigns are moving so quickly and you're making so many decisions on a daily basis. It's tough for the candidate to be the kind of the campaign CEO. But, campaigns, you're going to have a little bit of tension here and there, but we got along very well with Dave, and it wasn't really an issue. But
talking with Gray Delaney, who, along with Zach Werrell, led the campaign of Dave Brett to overcome and defeat Eric Cantor. They tell the inside story of all that with How to Bag a Rhino, and it's on the web at howtobagarhino.com as well. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You always have successes, obviously, the greatest success being the win in the primary and then later on that November. But you do some mistakes as well, some of in your control, out of your control, whatever the case may be. What was one of the mistakes or challenges that was the greatest lesson through the campaign?
Well, the greatest lesson is that being right is not necessarily enough to win. So conservatives always, we think we're right, which we are almost on every issue. But, you've got to find a strong candidate, first of all. Dave was a strong candidate. We've seen Sharon Angle in Nevada, who lost to Harry Reid in a very winnable race, and Christine O'Donnell in Delaware, and several others. So we have to find strong candidates, and then we had a very highly motivated and trained grassroots army that was organized in every county. We knocked on over 25,000 doors and took Dave's message to every single door, both Republicans and Democrats, anyone that was fed up with Washington. And then three, we kept the budget very low. I mean, you see these campaigns where they'll hire a consultant this, consultant that, and all these politicos say you need to spend money, you know, $15,000 here. And a lot of that is just simply not true. So we really shepherded our resources. You know, we were heavily outspent, but the last 2 weeks, we did have enough money, and there's this misnomer that you need money. I mean, you don't need millions of dollars, but you do need money. So we spent $80,000 on radio in the last couple of weeks. We spent about $30,000 on TV, and then we spent another $30,000 on online and digital advertising. So that's one of the lessons from the campaign is you certainly do need money, not like the war chest of the establishment. You need something.
And all through How to Bag a Rhino, which is Gray and Zach's book, you point out not just the mechanics and the path of the campaign, in many of the side stories will help the reader understand their potential for being an empowered role player. Like, for example, talk about Fred Gruber.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the precursor that some members of the media picked up on, was that we were able to oust Eric Hanner's longtime ally. He was the 7th District Chairman. Linwood Cobb had actually been elected the same year Tanner was in 2000, and we were able to defeat him. It was a really raucous. If you go onto the website, you'll see the videos of Tanner speaking. It was really the only time he addressed anyone in the district during that entire campaign. He mainly stayed in Washington, which was part of his problem. But, yeah, we were able to defeat Linwood Cobb in a fairly close race. I mean, if you look at the picture of Fred Gruber in the book, he's exactly the kind of person the establishment likes to paint the Tea Party as. He was kind of a little bit rough around the edges, a great guy, but we wanted to start to bring down the Canner machine. Canner controlled everything from the top down over the entire every single county. He wanted every single county chairman to pledge loyalty to him, and principles and your conscience did not matter. Loyalty mattered over everything. And so when we took out Linwood, that was a big sign that we were building that the grassroots army we were building was gaining some momentum. And it was a huge win for us. We got a lot of new volunteers after it, and, you know, it really enthused the whole grassroots army, and we were able to kind of channel that into the final month of the campaign, which was key.
Wrapping up our time with Gray Delaney with his book, co-authored by Zach Worrell, How to Bag a Rhino. On the web, it's howtobagarhino.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, when you go against the establishment, the machine, the king, whatever you want to call that body of politics, it comes at a risk. They're not afraid to swing the swords, are they?
Oh no, I mean, that's the establishment. They use it's win at all cost mentality. So the truth doesn't matter. I mean, Canner was calling Dave a liberal college professor from day one, and spent millions on TV ads, direct mail pieces, trying to paint Dave as a liberal. And we knew all along that that wasn't true. So it actually kind of gave us an opening, because there were some people, you could tell them that Eric Hanner killed their dog, but they had been voting for him for 12 years and they were going to vote for him again. And you couldn't win them over with issues alone. But when we were able to undermine his character, which is when Laura Ingraham came to town the last week and people said, why is Eric Hanner calling Dave a liberal? And then this right-wing talk show host is coming to town for Dave. It doesn't really make sense. And then so scores of voters figured out that their congressman was lying. And then they told 10, 15 friends that their congressman was lying. And that was a big key in the last week to really undermine Canner's credibility and character. And that was might have been very much the key to victory. I mean, I think we had reached a ceiling in the mid to high 40s, and the election would have been very close if Laura hadn't come to town.
Really does provide you as a political junkie with a great story, and we all love the behind the scenes stuff. And I think as a U.S. citizen and as a dissenter of the establishment, it might just compel you to research what it takes to run for office and how to do it and how to do it correctly. Or if you get involved in a campaign, how to open up your mouth and say, "Well, that's a good idea. Here's a better idea," because Gray and Zach's track record. Obviously, sure, they have the better ideas. The book is How to Bag a Rhino. You can find out more about it and order your copy as well at howtobagarhino.com. Gray Delaney, thanks for being here this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having us, and keep up the fight. Appreciate it.